गौरंग हरे कृष्ण सो वी विल स्टडी चैप्टर 16 आई हैड प्रॉमिस आई विल गेट सम नेक्टर फ्रॉम उज्जैन सिंस यू ऑल चर्न द ओशन ऑफ मिल्क विद इन योर माइंड्स सो आई गॉट सम नेक्टर ड्यूरिंग द ब्रेक ड्यूरिंग द ब्रेक Thought I'll just share one small incident with you, then we'll begin. Fine. When I was just returning, day before yesterday evening I left and yesterday morning I reached here. And throughout the day there was a meeting with for the kitchen, new kitchen. This is a new kitchen proposal. ये plot है ना पीछे, भर दिया उसको देखा आपने back side में. पॉन्ड के पीछे पूरा प्लॉट एकदम लेवल करके भरा है देयर वाज देयर वाज अ द होल लॉन्ग मीटिंग सो आई स्पेशली केम फॉर दैट एक्चुअली यस्टरडे हियर सो व्हेन आई लेफ्ट फ्रॉम उज्जैन आई टुक ऑटो फॉर द रेलवे स्टेशन एंड वन पर्सन स्टॉप द ऑटो ही सेड देयर इज एल्डरली लेडी ड्रॉप हर टू द स्टेशन आई सेड ओके फाइन You know, she can sit. And the driver said, 10 rupees lagega. I had booked the complete auto. I said, hey, maine book kiya pura auto, so paisa nahi lene ga. But he said, nahi, 10 rupees lagega. So the person who was dropping her, he just paid 10 rupees immediately. He said, take this 10 rupees. And that person was just helping her actually, you know. Then I asked, अच्छा कहाँ आप जाएंगे तो she said, उड़ीसा she was elderly 80 years old lady thin lean hunchback with a stick उड़ीसा what time is the train no I left at 4:30 PM what time is the train 3 AM in the morning you know 3 AM the train was at over so then this lady was she had one small bag made out of old sari only you know the sari four ends tied together becomes a bag on the shoulder you seen that kind of bag that kind of bag she was carrying and that was also heavy for her to carry so I helped her to carry her bag and settled her in the station you know she has to wait till 3 AM so I was just reflecting this lady came from Odisha all alone 80 years old lady can't lift her You know, small bag also can't walk without a stick, but she came all the way. You know, with the faith, you know, that this is the Kumbh Mela, you know, important spiritual gathering. Right? She can hear, take holy dip, take prasad, whatever you know. And most of the people we went to before that, we went to one family in Dhar. Well-to-do family, and we said, "You also, if you can come to Kumbh Mela, it will be nice and all that." Oh, so much crowd, you know, so much inconvenience. Young people, you know. So I was just reflecting how this lady, you know, she can't do. She's actually, you know, old, can't carry weight, can't walk properly, but she wants to come and. She's receiving help. Just she didn't know where the station is. First of all, you know, from the camp, somebody put her in an auto. You know, this direction station is the auto. Isko station pe chodna hai. And I was just going to the station only in that, you know. I was going to railway station only. So, and then I made her settle down. And then she doesn't know which platform the train will come. Right? Somebody will also, you know, help her to board the train. She came, so she will be able to go also. So because she is depending, you know, she has a will, but she doesn't have the strength, the resources, etc. Just by having will, she is able to come, and she is being helped by, you know, at every step she needs help, and she is being given help. You know, Krishna is arranging through someone or other, you know, she is being helped. While other people, they have all the resources, you know, they have strength, they are young, everything, right? But they have no will. They have no desire to, you know, actually attend the, you know, to hear about Krishna, to chant, or, you know, to perform devotional service in general, right? So that's what I was thinking, actually. What is lacking is actually a person's will most of the time, if you see, right? Just having the will, she is coming from Odisha, attending the Kumbh Mela, and going back, has no mobile phone to, you know, to, like, whenever I go to, sometime I go to station, I check which, you can come to know the platform also, which the train stops, and then you can come to know your coach position also, in the beginning or in the end, you know, you get to know the coach position also, so you can plan, you know, from the bridge, which stairs you should take, the left stair or the right stairs. I'm just giving example. No resources, but just by will, a person can do everything, right? So because there is a will, then there is a Krishna's help. Right? And also, when there is dependency on Krishna, this is surely the Lord helps, right? So she came all the way just depending upon the Lord. Right? So I was just thinking that how we, most of the time, we are so efficient that we fail to depend upon Krishna. That was the other thing which I was thinking of, right? We have everything, you know. What is the need to depend on Krishna? I can myself Google everything out or whatever, you know. So, just a small incident I thought I'll share with you, right? About importance of will of a person and dependency upon the Lord. When there is dependency, Krishna surely helps. Like that. Okay, so we will begin chapter 16. The Payovrata, process of worship. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirai Vashtaprayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Okay, so text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Putreshu Nashteshu Deva Mata Didistada Prite Tri Vishtabhe Detye Paryatapyad Anathavat.
Sukadev Goswami said, O King, when Aditi's son, the demigods, had thus disappeared from heaven and the demons had occupied their places, Aditi began lamenting, as if she had no protector.
Okay, so just the chapter breakup. So Aditi is lamenting and Kashyap Muni arrives, right? Seeing her lamenting condition, Kashyap Muni asks certain questions, right? Within the questions is also instruction also. Within the question is also instruction that, you know, a person, if he should do this thing, then he will not be morose usually, you know. So there are inquiries. So in 7 verses, he asks questions. And in 7 verses, Aditi replies. And within a reply is also the question. That, you know, she replies and she asks a question that how can this be, a suffering condition be gone, right? And then after that, Kashyap Muni tells her this Payovrat process of worship, which was told to him by Lord Brahma himself. Right? So he describes this process, and then there are specially he describes the 9 mantras to be chanted. Then he describes elaborately the rules and regulations to be followed, and then it ends with the glories, the Mahatmya of the Payavrat. That is the chapter breakup. That's all. This is the chapter breakup. Text 2. So, yeah. So, this Aditi is very, very much pained, right? Parnyatapyad anathavat. Her children were devoid of their home and their opulence. So Aditi is feeling a lot of pain, right? So especially the mother has a great concern for. Especially her children, right? Especially the sons, right? That there is a special affection, right? There is a small story how once Indra had some hot drop falling upon him, you know, hot. So hot water. And Indra looked up, you know, where is the drop, hot water drop coming from? And it was the hot tears of Mother Surabhi. So Indra said, why Mother Surabhi crying? So Indra looked down. In one field, one farmer made a bull work very hard. And the bull was working very hard in the summer season in the field, and the bull almost fainted. And seeing that, Mother Surabhi, she shed tears. And Indra felt a drop of the tear, you know, that hot tear. And Indra praised the love of the mother for the son. So there is a story like that. So Indra said, oh, glory is the love of the mother, you know, she has so many sons, even one son, you know, with a little difficulty, the mother is pained a lot, right? So, like that. So, Aditi is in great pain. Ekda kashyapastasya ashramam bhagavanagat nirutsamam niranandam samadhir virtaschirat.
After many days, the great powerful sage Kashyap Muni arose from a trance of meditation and returned home to see the ashram of Aditi, neither jubilant nor festive.
Okay, so he returns and sees that the ashram of Aditi was nir utsavam and niranandam. In the third line of the verse, you see, there was no festival mood and there was no happiness in the ashram. Sapatnim dinu vadanam kritasan parigraha. Sabajito yathanyayam idam maha kurudvaha.
O best of the Kurus, When Kashyap Muni had been properly received and welcomed, he took his seat and then spoke as follows to his wife, Aditi, who has very morous.
Okay, so then Kashyap Muni starts speaking. Okay, so verse 4 to 10, okay, this 7 verses, inquiry of Kashyap Muni. Apeyabhadram na vipranam भद्रे लोकदुनागतम् न धर्मस्य न लोकस्य मृत्युश्चन्दानुवर्तिनः.
ओ मोस्ट जेंटल वन, आई वंडर वेदर एनीथिंग इन ऑस्पिशियस हैज नाउ टेकन प्लेस इन रिगार्ड टू रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स. द ब्राह्मणस आर द पीपल इन जनरल हु आर सब्जेक्ट टू द whims of death.
Okay, so he is actually inquiring that O most auspicious Aditi, right? You are very auspicious, so therefore actually there should be no inauspiciousness, you know. You are auspicious, but has any inauspiciousness occurred in regards to what? Vipranam, in regards to the Brahmanas, right? Or in regards to dharma, religious principles, or in regards to lokasya, people in general, right? So has anything inauspicious, act, word, deed has been performed with regards to the brahmanas, with regards to the dharma, or with regards to people in general, and the symptom of lokasya, the people in general, mentioned as mrityus chandanuvartina. People in general who are traversing the path of death. Right? So about others there is no special quality mentioned. Right? So his inquiry is about threefold. If you see here, this verse has three things he asks about. But the symptoms of lokasya, people in general, are mrityus chandanu vartina. Those who have been awarded death sentence. Right? So that's how it is, you know. Bhagavatam also says, kim sukham marte dharmina. Yesterday Srinathji Prabhu also, you know, he was just going together, he had come, and he was saying, what happiness when there is a death sentence issued? Right? Kim sukham marte dharmina. He said, where is the question of happiness for a person who has been issued a death sentence? Right? So actually, everyone in this world has been given a death sentence. Right? Life is like a journey from prison cell. You stay for prison cell for some time, and to the place of being executed. And one is in prison cell, waiting for the day when he'll be executed. That is actually life in reality. You know? So kim sukham, what happiness? Right? So, but anyway, his point is that what, you know, have you done anything inauspicious in regards to these three? Dharma, vipra, and loka. So Prabhupada says, Kashyap Muni wondered whether the regulative principles which are meant for well-being of everyone has been disobeyed. He accordingly continued his inquiries for 7 verses, 4 to 10. Apiva kushalam kinchin Raheshu graha medini dharmasya arthasya kamasya yatra yogo hi yoginam.
O my wife, who are very much attached to household life, if the principle of religion, economic development and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activity are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles.
Okay, so now secondly he inquires if there is some inauspiciousness concerning dharma, artha or kama, right? Is there any inauspiciousness concerning dharma, artha or kama in the house where even the kamis become qualified for yoga? Yatra yogo hi ayoginam. So that's how it is, you know. So usually those who are on the pravritti mark, they are not qualified for yoga, right? But the scriptures, they regulate their life in such a way that they can also practice yoga. Yatra yogo hi ayoginam, right? So therefore in the household life is actually not a conducive place for yoga. No, we are talking about performing yoga in the sense of connecting oneself to Krishna. But if the scriptural regulations are followed, right, if the household life is arranged in such a way, the scriptural regulations follow, then they also practice yoga. Right? So therefore he's saying, is there any discrepancy in your following dharma, artha, kama? As per the Vedic injunction, have you violated the Vedic injunctions in the following of dharma, artha, kama, right? Which makes a yogi also a yogi, right? A yogi becomes also a yogi accordingly, like that. Right? So, Prabhupada says, first, Prabhupada comments on the word Kashyap calling her wife Graha Medini. Right? And we will see that Aditi also calls Kashyap Graha Medini later. You know, so they are not kind of accusing, you know, they are stating the fact, right? So he called, oh, you are attached to household life. Yeah, so you are, you know, both of them. So matter of fact, both of them. So it's not an accusation kind of thing, right? So Kashyap Muni has a... Yeah. Aditi has been addressed by her husband Kashyap as Graha Medini, which means one who is satisfied in household life for sense gratification. And Prabhupada says... If you skip one or two lines, such Graha Medis have only one aim in life, sense gratification. Right? And then Prabhupada calls Yanmathunadi Graha Medi Sukham Hitucham. Right? Nonetheless, the Vedic process is so comprehensive, right? It's an important line. Now, this is the glory of the Vedic process. Nonetheless, the Vedic process is so comprehensive that even in the householder life, one can adjust his activities according to the regulative principles of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Right? Basically, one adjusts his life according to the regulative principles of dharma, artha, kama to ultimately also achieve moksha. (Clears And then Prabhupada quotes again 129 saying, Dharmasya hepavargasya anartho arthaya upakalpate. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. And then toward the last five or six lines, Prabhupada says, so if these regulations of scripture are followed, then household life is as good as life of a yogi. Right? So therefore Kashyamuni is inquiring that I hope you are, you know, you're a yogini. Right? There are so many Western ladies, right? They write behind their T-shirt, I am a yogini. Right? So Kashyamuni is inquiring, I hope you are performing yoga properly. Right? But in terms of the scriptures, right? In terms of the scripture. Like that. So the purpose of the household life is also actually yoga, as mentioned here. Right? So Vishnu Thakur said in regards to the verse 4, he says that I hope there is no misfortune that has come upon the Brahmanas or on the religious beings or all people in general. Right? Like a person may be unhappy due to other person's unhappiness. Right? So first you inquire the hope that there is no misfortune on the Brahmanas, on the religious principles and on the people in general. And then he comes to her practice in the second inquiry. I hope your practice of religious principles is being performed. That practice which makes a yogi also a yogi. Yatra yogo hi yogi nam. Third inquiry, text 6.
Apivatithayo bhetya kutumbasaktaya tvaya grihada pujita yata pratyuthanena vakuchet. I wonder whether because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away.
Okay, so another important religious principle for householders in the third inquiry, right, as we said, Kashyamuni is inquiring from Aditi, the cause of unhappiness. Within that inquiry is also the instruction. And if you see in Mahabharata, Lord Ramchandra inquires from Bharat that you look very morose when the Lord, you know, when Bharat comes to take Lord Ram back, then Lord Ramchandra at that time inquires about how the things are going on in the kingdom. So there are 70 to 80 verses of inquiry of Lord Ram. Within that inquiry, he gives all the instruction for political management. He gives all the instruction of political management. So he said, so are you taking care of your subjects? Are you dealing with your ministers in a nice way? I hope they are not very far away from you, but at the same time, they are not very, familiar with you. You are maintaining a safe distance, you know, so that they are not too remote or too close. And one of the inquiry he makes, I hope whenever you get some nice food, sub, you share with all of everyone and you do not eat alone. You know, so many things, you know, if you see for a leader, you know, kind of, there are so many verses, all Lord inquiries from Bharat Maharaj that are ruling the kingdom well. Within that inquiry are exhaustive instructions. So here the seven inquiries are there, but there is important instruction within the inquiry. And so now the third inquiry, wherein he's saying, have you received the guests well? Right? So sometime in receiving the guests, one may have to make some sacrifice, some personal sacrifice. Right? If the just like recently some devotees invited us for prasad, and in we were in Kumbh Mela, and then Sarva Mahaprabhu was also supposed to come, and he got late in coming. We were waiting for him. You know, the breakfast we took at 10 o'clock, although we scheduled at 9, it became 10 o'clock. Then after breakfast, you know, we're talking, and the horse took breakfast at 11 o'clock. You know, so there is a, you know, almost mid lunch, you know, 11 o'clock kind of time. So in serving a guest, sometimes there has to be sacrifice. You know, it is obvious. You know, yeah, sometimes one may have to. Sometimes when the brahmachari goes and they take second, third, fourth serve, and everything is finished. Especially some amras or something, summer special, and nothing is left for the host. You know, so they have to sacrifice. It has been seen. You know, so he's saying, but probably due to if the person is too attached, you know, then he may not be able to serve the guest properly or refuse the guest to serve in some particular thing or in a particular way. So the third inquiry is, did you fail to serve the guest properly being attached to your own comfort and being attached to your own desires for enjoyment? Right? Atithi. So this is a culture that how Atithi is usually considered Atithi Devo Bhav, right? You heard. So, one who informs and comes, he is not known as Atithi. There is a different term. There is a different term used for that. It is a Sanskrit term. His name is not coming. So, one who tells, informs, you know, prior information that we are coming on this and this date, he is not considered Atithi. It is a different term. But especially, like Atithi term is used for many times, there would be wandering mendicant, they would roam here and there, and because they have no other thing, they would just walk into some household, you know, and beg something, right? So, because they are wandering mendicant dedicated to this higher spiritual practice, when they come, they are to be considered as good as the Supreme Lord, right? Atithi Devo Bhav, that is the instruction given. It's not actually term meant for that, you know, any beggar roaming around only for sense gratification, you know, he walks and he should be worshipped as the Supreme Lord. Can be given something, but here Atithi would refer to mainly it in the context of wandering mendicants who could, you know, those who have taken to the renounced, taken to the life of tapasya, right? And they have no other source, and they are worshipping the Supreme Lord. And so they can just go to any household and they are worshipped. They're worshipable as the Supreme Lord is worshipped. Everything should be offered to them, all. So the household of duty, they should consider themselves very fortunate to receive such a guest, such an atithi. Right. Yes. No, usually they would send a messenger or somebody, you know, that the guest, the... This Atithi term is used for mainly the wandering mendicants. The relatives would sometime they would send a person ahead, you know, or when they would meet, they would fix the next time or whatever, you know, the messenger is sent. Even the father would send a messenger and say, send my daughter on this and this date. So through a particular messenger, communication would be given sometime, right? So Atithi term specifically would refer to person who is a wandering mendicant, and therefore that instruction applies to that person. Right? Yeah. So to receive a guest who comes like this has been considered a very important duty. Right? Just like recently also, one person, I'm giving you some corollary things also along with the main text. Just like Prabhupada, they said, if any, you know, no one should go hungry. If anyone walks in the temple, he should get prasad, right? Anyone comes to the temple, he should get prasad, right? So recently when I was in Ujjain, the temple had made a rule that, you know, 70 rupees coupon. Anyone who just walks in the prasadam hall, first there is a person sitting with a coupon and 70 rupees. So there one person was, you know, who had just come to devotional service, he was very angry. He said, everyone says, you know, whenever one wants to do something, everyone says, Prabhupada said this, you know, so we are doing this, you know, Prabhupada, on the name of Prabhupada, like we take up many projects. He said, and when distributing coupons, no one discussed what Prabhupada said about prasadam distribution. So I said, yes, Prabhupada didn't meant people who would regularly exploit this system. Now, Tithi Deva Bhav doesn't mean any beggar, you know, who daily start coming and he receives the worship and this thing. Not the opportunistics. You know, any person, you know, at other times Prabhupada also said, you know, any gentleman who would come or any guest or Atithi, you know, he was walking by the temple, let's take darshan, he should be offered prasad, right? But there are so many people who said, oh, what is the need of cooking at home, you know? You know, chalo, you know, so many grihasthas also, you know, daily coming, and then it's burden on the temple many a times, you know, therefore coupon system and all that. You know, so getting the point. So when, so there is a scriptural injunction, okay, Prabhupada said, but then so many people who start exploiting that, right? So like that, you know, so therefore, then the rules and regulations has to be made and all that, those things happen. Okay, text 7. Griheshu yeshu atithyeyo narchita salilairapi yadi nirayanti te nunam feru raja grihopama.
From which guests go away without having been received, even with an offering of a little water, are like those holes in the field, which are the homes of jackals.
Okay, so again, this is in regards to the guest receiving the guest only, right? So, two basic things he's saying, you know, if a person comes to a house, atithi, even a person is very poor, at least he can offer two things. What is that? Sweet word and some water. You know, even if he doesn't have an asana, you know, he sleeps only on the bare ground. He may not have an asana also. So person will be so poor. But everyone, you know, water is free, freely given by the Lord. Everyone has some water. And everyone has a sweet words. So therefore he's saying, if a person, any atithi comes to a house, if he doesn't receive na archita word of welcome, salilair, second line, no water. So that house is a, you know, like the holes where the jackals live. Right? That's an abominable place. Right? Like that. So if you see, Bhishmadev, right, Bhishmadev was lying on a bed of arrows. He said he received everyone properly. All the great sages from all the different planetary system came. Right? Vasishtha Muni came, Bhrigu Muni came, Vyasadev came, Narad Muni came, Shukdev Goswami. Right? So many people came. Right? Agastya Muni came, Angira Muni came. If you see, that all the great sages, you know, who would not come otherwise on invitation, right, is very difficult to. They all came, Bhishmadev, and he said, Bhishmadev received all of them well, you know, just by offering sweet words of welcome and praise, right? He could satisfy everyone, right? Therefore, the word used are dharmagyo, deshakal vibhagavit, right? That he's a dharmagyo, he received everyone properly. He knows the dharma as per time, place and circumstance. Okay? So like that. So just by offering sweet words, you could welcome. Guru text 8. Apayagnes tu velayam nahuta havishasati toyodvigna dhyabhadre proshite mai karhichet.
a chaste and auspicious woman, when I left home for other places, were you in so much anxiety that you did not offer oblations of ghee into the fire?
Okay, so another important duties of a householder, even Krishna had showed, was to is to panchayagya, offer five kind of, you know, oblations, right? Five kind of fire sacrifice should be performed. So did you fail to do that? Text 9. Yat pujaya kam dugdan yati lokan grihan vita brahmanognischa vai vishnu sarva devatmano mukham.
By worshipping the fire and the brahmanas, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets. For the sacrificial fire and the brahmanas are to be considered the mouth of Lord Vishnu, who is the super soul of all the demigods.
Okay, so in any sacrifice, there is oblations offered to the fire, and there is a offering of prasadam, offering of bhoga to Vishnu, and distribution of prasadam, right? So there's a, therefore any sacrifice has basically it's like feeding the Lord in two ways. In any sacrifice, in the fire, oblation of the fire also feeds the Lord Vishnu, and then offering prasadam to brahmanas, again we are serving the Lord Vishnu in that sense. So therefore he's saying, in this way, if a person can be elevated to live in higher planets, if one serves Lord Vishnu in these two ways, through the performance of sacrifice. Right? Yeah, so Prabhupada basically described this too, offering a sacrifice and offering prasadam to the devotees, Brahman Bhojan. No, text 10. Api sarve kushilinas tava putra manasvini lakshase swastam atmanam bhavatya lakshanairaham.
O great minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is this so?
Okay, right. Now he hits the nail. He understands, you know, actually. So all those instructions he asked, all those questions he asked, only just to give different instructions. But he actually understands, you know. Now he asks the question, are your sons faring well? Right? She is so morose. She would not have been so morose otherwise, if any of the things would have happened. Right? So she's so morose that Kashyap Muni understand, you know, this kind of unhappiness is only possible if her sons are not faring well. Right? Like that. Right? Yeah, basically Kashyap Muni also, by this question we understand he knew actually what has happened. But then he asked certain questions to give a religious instruction to householders. And then finally he asked, you know, are your sons faring well? He knows there is a problem here actually. Right? Seeing the nature of the moroseness also. Right? So, but he gives these instructions before that. So basically, what all does he ask? First of all, one by one, and people in general, right? To the brahmanas, brahmanasya, dharmasya, and lokasya. If you see three, has there some misfortune that has come upon the brahmanas on the religious principle or people in general that you are so morose, right? That was the first inquiry. Secondly, who will say about a second inquiry? Or is dharma, artha and kama being performed properly means as per scriptural injunctions, which makes householder also a yogi. Yatra, yogo yatra ayogi nam. Right? Even the yogi becomes a yogi by following dharta, principle of dharma, artha, kama as per the scriptural injunction. That was his second inquiry. Third, about receiving the guest, what was that? Did you, being attached to household sense gratification, did you fail to receive the guest properly? Yes. Right? So, then the fourth verse is related to the third inquiry itself. The place where the guests are not offered, who will say? Water and sweet words, that place are like the holes where the jackals live. Right? Abominable place. Then, that's the third kind of, third inquiry. The fourth verse is related to the third. Fifth. Yeah, fifth is about the, are you offering oblations, to the fire, right? Performing the yajna properly, right? And what happens in this yajna, the Lord Vishnu is fed through fire and brahmanas, and he's satisfied, right? So that's the sixth verse related to the fourth. So the fifth inquiry is the actual, kind of. The four inquiries are meant to actually give instructions. So fifth inquiry, he understands. Is a pinpoint inquiry. Are your sons faring well? So if you see in the seven verses, there are five basically questions, right? And there are instructions. Four important instructions. Yeah, basically, the householders along with their, wives or she is not alone with her sons, not just alone, so like that. Okay, so that's the inquiry, and next seven verses is Aditi's reply.
Shri Aditir Uvacha Bhadram Dvijagavam Brahman Dharmasya Syajanasya Cha Trivargasya Paramshetram Grahamedin Griha Ime.
Aditi said, O my respected Brahmana husband, all is well with the Brahmanas, the cows, religion and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of dharma, artha and kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune.
Right. So she replies, yes, all the principles of dharma, artha, kama being followed, right? Graha medhi in griha ime. If you see graha medhi word to word translation, O my husband who are attached to household life. Right? So both call each other in that way. Or you can say it's a other way of calling, oh my dear husband, right? Oh my dear wife, right? But they just say, right? Like people call, So like that. So, just Prabhupada said, in the household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development and sense gratification according to the regulations given in the scriptures. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. So, Prabhupada saying that Kashyamuni being called a Grahamedi here indicates that he is not in the renounced order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as Brahman and another time as Grahamedin. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely and the Brahmanas and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there were no disturbances, household life was duly progressing. For in general, Grahamedi term is used for all householders also. Even if they are following, sometimes this term is used for, the Grahamedi term is used. Because the nature of the household life is attachment. Even if one is following, you will see in Bhagavatam, those who are even Grahasthas, following all the rules and regulations, the Grahamedi term is used for them also. Because by nature, there is attachment in the household life. And without attachment, one cannot properly execute actually the principles of household life. There has to be some attachment to wife, children, right? If there is no attachment, then he better take renounced order of life. It's a fact. Because if there is no attachment, then, you know, as we say, the wife and the children will be fried out. You know, he said, you better take sannyas, then you go ahead, you know. So there has to be some attachment in the household life, even to execute the duties of the household life properly, right? So in the fact, you know, some grahasthas who would associate with brahmacharis, they started behaving in the renounced order of like they are renounced in the household life. There was a lot of disturbance at home. You know, he said, you know, as long as your household, so you change the ashram, that is allowed. You know? But you can't be behaving like a detached sannyasi in the household life. Of course, one has to be detached from sense gratification, but there has to be some attachment in household life. Therefore, the word Grahamedi has been used for all householders in the Bhagavatam, often. Okay? Like that. Textual. Agnyotithyo Bhritya Bhikshavo Echa Lipsava Sarvam Bhagavato Brahman Anudhyana Nurishyati.
O beloved husband, the fires, guests, servants and beggars are all being properly cared for by me. Because I always think of you, there is no possibility that any of the religious principles will be neglected.
Okay, so she is saying that you know, even the guests and others, you know, servants, beggars, everyone is being properly received. Right? Just by meditating upon you, she is saying, just by meditating upon you, nothing is lacking. Right? By your grace, I am able to execute all the principles well. Konu Bhagavan Konu me Bhagavan Kamo Na Sampadyeta Manasa Yasya Bhavan Prajadhyaksha Evam Dharman Prabhashate.
O my Lord, since you are a Prajapati and are personally my instructor in the principles of religion, where is the possibility that all my desires will not be fulfilled?
So, she is saying that because of your connection, you are such a great personality, I am able to execute all this religious principle well, and all my desires are thus fulfilled. Text 14. Tatayva marich mana sharīraja praja ima sattva rajastamo jusha
samo bhavam ta shvasuradishu prabho tathapi bhaktam bhajate maheshwara.
Marichi, because you are a great personality, you are equal towards all the demons and demigods who are born either from your body or from your mind and who possess one or another of the three qualities, Satvaguna, Rajaguna or Tamaguna. But although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is equal towards all living entities, He is especially favorable to the devotees.
Okay, so basically she answered her four, his four questions in the three verses, you see, you know, that he inquired. And now she started talking about the fifth question, or the children faring well. Right? So that answer starts from this verse, text 14. Right? So she is first saying, look, the Supreme Lord is equal to all, but He is specially favorable to the devotees. Right? Indicating, kind of giving a subtle hint that you are equal to all your sons, but you should specially favor my sons, you know, the demigods, since they are devotees of Vishnu. Right? So she is giving that subtle hint in this particular verse. Right? So, and then Prabhupada talks about Krishna's equality. Samoham sarva bhuteshu na me dishyasti na priyah ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai chiteshu chapeham ye yatha mam prabaddante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham mam vartmanu vartante mrushya partha sarvasha. Right? Lord is, I am equal to all. So Lord equality is compared to a kalpa vriksh. You know, the kalpa vriksh. So according to one's desire, the person obtains a particular result. Right? So different people obtaining different things from the Lord are not due to Lord's partiality, but because of their own desires. You know, so that has been, that is explained by Prabhupada here. Text 15. Tasmadija bhajantyame shreyas chintaya subhrata hrita shriyo hrita sthanan sapatna pahina prabho.
For most gentle Lord, kindly favor your maidservant. We have now been deprived of our opulence and residence by our competitors, the demons. Kindly give us protection.
Okay. So now she directly informs that yes, my sons have been deprived of hrita shriyo hrita sthanan. They have been deprived of all opulence as well as their residence. सड़क पे आ गए हैं. इट्स लाइक दिस. सो शी सीक्स प्रोटेक्शन फ्रॉम कश्यप मुनि. सिक्सटीन परैर विवासिता साहम मग्ना व्यसन सागरे ऐश्वर्यम श्री यशास्थानम पितानि प्रबलैर मम.
The demons, our formidably powerful enemies, have taken away our opulence, our beauty, our fame, and even our residence. Indeed, we have now been exiled, and we are drowning in an ocean of trouble.
So again she by force the demons have, if you see the meaning of the 15 and the 16 is same, right? What she informs in text 15 is again paraphrased in text 16. Hrito shriyo hrito sthanan, by our competitors, they have taken away. Right? So, Aishwaryam shri yashasthanam hritani prabalair mama, by force they have taken away. Right? So because, you know, when a person is in great pain and anxiety, he repeats his problem, you know, he doesn't say once. Paraphrasing, you know, same thing in 2-3 times, you know. You see, if the person is in trouble, he always says, you know, talks of his problem from various perspectives, angles, you know. 2-4-5 baar wahi baat ko bolta hai. Alag alag drishti ka. Dekha hai na, aisa. So like that. You know, doctors can also, when a patient comes, you know, बार बार बोलेगा वो मेरे ऐसे यू नो इट्स पेनिंग हियर आई ट्राइड अ लॉट बट स्टिल पेनिंग नाइट इट वाज पेनिंग मॉर्निंग अगेन इट वाज पेनिंग एज सून एज आई टेक समथिंग स्टार्ट अगेन पेनिंग यू नो व्हाट एवर फ्रॉम द सेम थिंग ही रिपीट्स फ्रॉम यू नो जस्ट हियर एंड देयर लाइक दैट यू नो सो देयरफॉर 15-16 द सेम थिंग इज बीइंग कन्वेड यू नो बट शी इज अ पर्सन इज नो शी इज वेरी मच इन पेन सो देयरफॉर शी इज पैराफ्रेजिंग द सेम थिंग 17
यथातानि पुनः साधो प्रपद्येरन् ममात्मजा तथा विदेहि कल्याणम् धिया कल्याण कृत्तमा
ओ बेस्ट ऑफ सेजेस बेस्ट ऑफ ऑल दोज हु ग्रांट ऑस्पिशियस बेनेडिक्शंस प्लीज कंसीडर आवर सिचुएशन एंड बेस्ट ऑफ ऑन माय सन्स द बेनेडिक्शंस बाय विच दे कैन रिगेन व्हाट दे हैव लॉस्ट
Okay, so again her address if you see is, you know, oh my lord, oh most gentle one, most auspicious, please protect us, please help us. Okay. So us, she and her sons, right? That's what it is. Okay, so the, again, so her, she answers and then pleads for help, right? So in the first three verses, she says, "Yes, I am able to perform all, you know, dharma arth kaam as per the religion. Then also I am able to receive all the guests, satisfy the servants and the beggars." If you see in the second verse, she said, "Because you are the instructor, all my desires are being fulfilled." In the third verse, she says, and in the fourth verse. What was the fourth verse she says? She says the Supreme Lord is specially favorable to the devotees. You know, she starts building the case. Therefore, although all are your sons, you should show mercy to my sons, the demigods, because they are devotees of Vishnu. Right? And then she informs in 15th and 16th verse that they have been deprived of all their opulence and their residence. Right? The two verses are similar verses. And then finally she pleads and that please you are very auspicious, you're most gentle. Please help us by which we can regain the lost wealth and kingdom. Right? So this is the seventh verses of her reply and there is a plead within that. Okay, so now Kashyap Muni will answer her prayers. You know,
Shishuka uvacha, evam abhyarthito ditya, kastamahas smayan iva, ho maya balam Vishnu. Snehabaddhammidam jagat.
Swami continued, when Kashyap Muni was thus requested by Aditi, he slightly smiled. Alas, he said, how powerful is the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, by which the entire world is bound by affection for children.
Okay, so, evam abhyartito aditya kasta maha seman iva. Vishnu Thakur says he didn't smile forthrightly. It's not that he started smiling immediately. No. It looked like, it's a Saman Iva, like he's smiling. Because, you know, she's under pain and someone just laughs. You know, it will be very insensitive. Someone is under great pain and you know, express and you just smiled over it. No. So, as if he's smiling. It's mentioned, you know. He didn't forthrightly smile, kind of. That would not be proper. Right? And Vishnu Thakur says, he also felt her pain in his heart. Vishnu Thakur says, text 18. Right? So, but first of all, he takes a philosophical perspective of the situation. You know, Kashyap Muni, he sees the situation first from philosophical perspective. Therefore, Aho Maya Balam Vishnu Sneha Baddham Idam Jagat. Right? So, first thing he says, how strong is the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord? Sneha Baddham Idam Jagat. It has bound all living entities with the Sneha Pash, the ropes of affection. It is not that he's, you know, most of the time, it's not that he's commenting upon Aditi. He himself is also including, how strong is the illusory energy? It has bound all of us. You know, he's including himself because he's also pained to hear the Aditi's pain. He's also attached to her wife, to his wife and to his children. Right? So most of the time, what happens, many times we may apply scriptural injunctions to others and exclude ourselves as if we are transcendental to everything. You know, we may comment on others. Just see how. No, most of the time, you know, when we see in the Bhagavatam, when even a great soul is speaking, he includes himself within. So, Aho Maya Balam Vishnu Sneha Baddham Idam Jagat. Within that Jagat, he is not keeping himself aside and see how, you know, how the whole Jagat. Apne ko bhi Jagat mein le rahe. He is including himself within that. And see how strong illusion energy of the Lord is. Everyone, including myself, is bound by it. Everyone, including myself. Right? Most of the time, we exclude ourselves. You know, we keep ourselves aside, and we see others in terms of these, you know, that bound by illusion or, you know, being carried away by the illusion energy, etc. Right? Or being filled with material desires. Whenever such description comes, we should know that the great soul include themselves, and therefore we should also. You know, when we are talking, we also are a part of that. Like that. Text 19. Ko deho bhautiko natma. Ko chatma prakrte para. Kasya kepati putradya. Moh eva hi karanam.
Kashyap Muni continued, what is this material body made of five elements? It is different from the spirit soul. Indeed, the spirit soul is completely different from the material elements from which the body is made. But because of bodily attachment, one is regarded as husband or son. These illusory relationships are caused by misunderstanding.
Okay, so ko deho bhautiko natma. He said, what is this material body? It's a bhautik. Right? It is not a spirit soul. And what is spirit soul? It is not this material elements. It is beyond the material elements. Right? Ko deho bhautika na atma. And ko cha atma prakrite para. It's not the material elements. Right? Therefore, kasya ke pati putradya. Right? Actually, from a spiritual perspective, who is the husband, who is the son? Right? Simply, all this is moha eva hi karanam. Just the illusory energy of the Lord is making a person think, he's my husband, they are my sons, like that. Right? So, so Prabhupada says that in the purport third line, Kashyap Muni met his wife Aditi in the heavenly planets. But the same misconception extends throughout the universe as is also here on earth. So this Deha Atma Buddhi, this misconception is all-pervading in this material world. From the lowest planet to the highest planet. However, Prabhupada says, if you see this 8th or 9th line of the purport, the Vedic civilization, however, is based on spiritual education, and spiritual education is the basis on which Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. And then Prabhupada talks about the difference between the material body and the spirit soul and how the spirit soul transmigrates. And then if you see in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says to work hard in the bodily concept of life without spiritual education is to live like an animal. And just above that, Prabhupada says, education means spiritual education. And without this education, people are actually to be considered blind or in dark ignorance. And then again, Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj verse, Andayathan Dupaniyamanas, in the purport. Therefore, right, the Krishna conscious movement, the fourth last line, is trying to give the true light of spiritual existence to all living entities. No, text 20. Upatishthasva purusham bhagavantam janardhanam sarvabhuta guhavasam vasudevam jagadgurum.
Engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of everything, who can subdue everyone's enemies, and who sits within everyone's heart. Only that Supreme Person, Krishna or Vasudeva, can bestow all auspicious benedictions upon everyone, for He is the spiritual master of the universe.
Uptishthasva purusham. Should we change the microphone? Will that help? No, no, let's give that. Let's try to. Same? Sure. Okay. No, hurry, bol. We can do that in the break, and the 10 minutes we'll have a break. Then you can test and change. Okay, so these two verses are especially very important, 20 and 21, wherein Kashyap Muni gives first he takes the spiritual perspective, just see that how these. You know, although the soul is beyond the material elements and this body and the relationship is all material, but still there is such conception due to the illusion energy of the Lord. Therefore, now he is giving instruction for devotional service. So these two verses are important. Upatishthasva purusham. Right? His beginning of the solution is, please worship the Supreme Lord. Right? Upatishthasva purusham. Bhagavantam Janardhanam Sarvabhuta Guhavasam Vasudevam Jagadgurum. Right? So, there is a beautiful flow also in this verse and a beautiful instruction. So, Prabhupada says, Aditi made her appeal to her material husband. Of course, that is nice. But actually, a material relative cannot do anything good for anyone. If anything good can be done, it is done by the supreme personality of Godhead. Okay, so this is upon the word Purusham. He's saying, look, you may be considering me as your husband, but I cannot do any good. Upatishtasu Purusham, please worship your original husband, the supreme personality of Godhead. Right? So, I may be your husband, but I am actually helpless. But I am just your husband in name only. But your actual husband is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, worship him. Upatishtasva Purusham. And then Bhagavantam. He knows everything. Right? He knows everything. You will not have to inform him. You will not have to. You just worship him and he knows everything. Right? Even Gajendra prayer we studied. It was the prayer of Gajendra or the demigods. Brahmaji was saying, right, in the Samudra Mandala, that when he went to the Lord, we don't have to inform you. And Prabhupada says that, Prabhupada makes an important point, you have material desire, you just worship the Supreme Lord, you don't even have to inform him of your material desires. Right? Lord will fulfill, you know, and but they will not become an impediment. You don't have to inform also, explicitly you don't have to say, your material desire, you worship the Supreme Lord. Right? Therefore here also he is saying, you worship the Supreme Lord. So Aditi is saying, but how will he come to know? Bhagavantam, he knows everything. He knows all your desire. You just worship him. So that's a Bhagavantam word is used. He knows everything. He knows the problem. Why? He knows the problem. What has happened to your... He knows what has happened. He knows why has happened. Why this happened. And he also knows what is the solution. So you don't have to, you just worship the Supreme Lord, Bhagavantam. Janardhanam. Janardhan, one who kills the enemies, right? Janardhan. He'll be able to kill the enemies of your sons, Janardhanam. Right? So just see word by word we are trying to understand this important verse. He'll be able to kill the enemies of your sons. Another meaning of Janardhan is one who begs from his devotees. So Vishwanath Thakur says, he will actually go and beg from, one who begs from his devotees. He will go and beg from Bali Maharaj. He will go and beg from Bali Maharaj, Janardhanam. And then, Sarva Bhut Guha Vasam. If someone says, but he will go to beg, but Shukracharya will stop Bali Maharaj, you know. The demons or the guru of the demons, they will not allow him to give. It's not so easy. So therefore, Kashyap Muni is saying, Sarva Bhut Guha Vasam. The Lord is in everyone's heart. He will inspire Bali Maharaj to give the charity and neglect everyone else's advice. Sarva Bhut Guha Vasam. Then Vasudevam Jagat Gurum. Right? So that Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vasudevam. Or other thing is, by worshipping him, you will achieve a state of you will achieve a Vasudev state, a state of Shuddha Sattva, in which you will realize Vasudev. Okay, so by doing this, not just you will regain all the lost opulence, this, but you will also realize Lord Vasudev, who is Jagat Gurum. And who is Jagat Gurum? He is the Guru of the whole world. And he knows perfectly well what to do. Right? So again, we had discussed previously also that when we pray to the Lord, we should not tell our, you know, if you can arrange like this, that. And sometimes we have already a plan and we submit the plan before the Lord for his stamp. Right? He is Jagat Guru. Let the plan be his, you know. So we can only express that I am, you know, aggrieved in this particular way, right? And not submit the whole master plan ourselves, because he is a Jagat Guru. He knows the best way to do, right? How to best tackle a problem. So therefore, he is the Jagat Guru. When he will act, it will be for your benefit, for my benefit, for the demigod's benefit, and even for Bali Maharaj's benefit. So he's saying, look, when the way he will act will be for everyone's benefit. Right? Jagat Gurum. So this is the, basically the meaning of the verse. Right? Prabhupada, we'll discuss, Prabhupada has given also beautiful elaboration upon this, each word of the purport. Right? But the flow is clear. Upatishtasva, worship Purusham, your original husband. Right? He can do, I can't do much, I am. Bhagavantam, he knows your problem, he knows what has happened, why it has happened, and what is to be done. Bhagavantam. Janardhanam, he is able to kill, he will be able to kill the enemies, or he will be able to beg, you know, from his devotee, Bali Maharaj. Sarvabhut Guhavasam, he will inspire him to give the charity. Vasudevam, right? That Supreme Lord Vasudevam will be realized when you worship him and you achieve a state of Vasudev. Jagat Gurum, right? He will benefit everyone by his act. He is Jagat Guru. There's the flow, the verse. Upatishashva Purusham Bhagavantam Janardhanam Sarvabhut Guhavasam Vasudevam Jagat Gurum. Like that. So Prabhupada, we already read first few lines, which is Upatishashva Purusham. Right? And then Prabhupada explained the word Janardhanam. Right? And then if you see, beginning from 7th or 8th line, Prabhupada explains the word Prabhupada explained the state Vasudev. Right? In the first paragraph, Prabhupada explained there are three modes. If you see, there are three modes of material nature, and one has to transcend those three modes. So Prabhupada talks about that Vasudev state, Shuddha Sattva state, is beyond the three modes. So in the remaining half, of the first paragraph, Prabhupada mainly explains the state Vasudev, in which Lord Vasudev is realized. And Prabhupada says, the third last line of the first paragraph, thus the Vasudev condition fulfills a spiritual necessity. This line is very striking. Thus the Vasudev condition fulfills the spiritual necessity. This is the first paragraph, third last line. So in the first paragraph, basically Prabhupada explained the word Purusham, Janardhan, and Vasudev state in which Vasudev is lies. That's the first paragraph. In the second paragraph, Prabhupada is mainly explaining the term Sarvabhut Guhavasam, that the Lord is there within everyone's heart. And Prabhupada quotes this three verses from Bhagavad Gita in the second paragraph, if you see, to explain that the Lord is within everyone's heart. And in the third paragraph, Prabhupada very nicely explains the term Jagat Gurum. Right? Jagat Gurum. So he thinks, Prabhupada says, whenever one is perplexed, let him take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudev Krishna, who will give the devotee intelligence to help him surpass all difficulties and return home back to Godhead. Right? So there Prabhupada says, now because Kashyap Muni is directing his wife to the Jagat Gurum, the original spiritual master, therefore he is also Jagat Guru. And that Prabhupada says in the, if you see just the fifth line, thus Kashyap Muni was an ideal spiritual master. Right? Again, in the middle of this last paragraph, Prabhupada says the word Jagat Gurum is very important in this regard. Right? The whole paragraph is dedicated to explain Jagat Guru. Kashyap Muni did not falsely declare himself to be Jagat Guru, although he actually was Jagat Guru, because he advocated the cause of Vasudev. Actually, Vasudev is Jagat Guru as clearly stated here. Vasudevam Jagat Gurum. One who teaches the instruction of Vasudev, Bhagavad Gita, is as good as Vasudevam Jagat Gurum. And Prabhupada says, one who manufactures his own theory, he is false Jagat Guru. But actual Jagat Guru is the one who advocates the cause of Vasudev. So in this way, Prabhupada explained the word Jagat Guru. Text 21. So each verse has been explained very elaborately if you see. By Prabhupada and by Vishwanath Thakur. So a very important verse. 21. Savidhasyati te kaman harirdinanukampana amoga bhagavad bhaktir netareti matir mama.
Be merciful to the poor, will fulfill all of your desires, for devotional service unto him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless, that is my opinion.
Okay, very beautiful verse. Savidhasyati te kaman. He will surely fulfill our desires. Why? Harir dinanukampana. Right? The Lord is very merciful to those who are deen, who are low, poor. Right? The poor means those who do not have any possessions, right? Poor. They have no possessions. So even if a rich person, if he doesn't identify himself to be the proprietor of anything, he is also a poor person. Right? It is a question of proprietorship. But a person may have little wealth, but may have a strong possession of that. Like even a poor man is proud of his penny. So a poor man may not be a deen because he has some pennies he is very proud of or very attached to. But a rich man may also be poor actually if he has no proprietorship. Right? So like that. In general everyone in this world, deen also would refer to, in this world everyone is practically a deen. You know, a poor person devoid of spiritual wealth. Right? So in general, everyone is a poor person in this world. So now, from looking at from another perspective. Right? So, savidhasyati te kaman harir dinanukampana amog bhagavad bhaktir. Right? So, he's saying, look, this process of devotional service, worshipping the Supreme Lord, which he just prescribed in the verse 20th, saying this is amog, this bhakti of the Lord is amog. Right? That one who takes up this process, he will not be baffled. He will surely achieve all his desires. Amog bhagavad bhaktir. Netareti matir mama. There is no other such process which is infallible, right? Except devotional service. So therefore, this is a very beautiful verse. Amog bhagavad bhaktir. Right? So how the bhagavad bhaktir is amog? First of all, that is being explained in the purport, right? So savidhasyati te kaman. So in the first paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada mainly comments upon the word kaman. Right? People have different kind of desires. Right? So then Prabhupada says basically three kind of men: akam, moksha kam, and sa kam. Right? So when commenting on the word kaman, there are these three categories. So there are akam, moksha kam, and sarva kam. So they all should worship. Right? They all should worship the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada quotes the verse Akama sarva kama va, if you see. Right? And then, second paragraph, Prabhupada says, Kashyap Muni saw that his wife has some material desires for the welfare of her sons, but still he advised her to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, everyone, regardless of whether he is a karmi, jnani, yogi or bhakta, should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudev and render transcendental loving service unto him, so that all his desires will be duly fulfilled. Right? So, basically Prabhupada is, if you see, we can, yeah, this is this paragraph. Prabhupada is explaining the term Dina Anukampana. Right? All living entities are poor, being bereft of spiritual wealth. Right? And the Lord is specially merciful to all poor people. So everyone should worship the Supreme Lord. Right? So one important thing is, we know how the Lord is merciful to the fallen souls, right? Deen or Heen. So, everyone in this material world, especially the Prabhupada here lists four categories. So, whether a person is a karmi, jnani or a yogi, they all actually are fallen. Right? But, they do not consider themselves to be fallen. The devotees are not fallen. But they consider themselves to be fallen. Right? If you see, there are karmis, yogis, jnanis. Like, I was in Kummela. No one had a name starting with the word Deen. Only the Bhakta have a name starting with Deen. Right? Deen Krishna Das, Deen Goranga Das. Any other name? Deen Gopal. He's marrying the Bandara, right? Deen. All other is, you know, Shri Shri 1008, Mahamandaleshwar, you know, big. No one name, if you see on the board, is starting with the word Deen. Right? Meaning, a poor and a fallen person, you know. Everyone, so although among the four, karmi, jnani, yogi, the first three are actually fallen, you know, from Krishna's perspective, the devotee is not fallen, but other three, then none of them consider them to be fallen, right? But a devotee who is actually elevated in the eyes of Krishna, he considers him to be fallen. Right? And therefore the Lord is specially merciful to the devotees. They consider them to be fallen. And the Lord is Dina Anukampana. Right? Those are actually poor, impoverished, those who consider themselves to be very low. The Lord is specially merciful to them. Right? And then Prabhupada explains the term Deen Special Anukampana. Special mercy to, you know, those who are really sincere devotees, right? Special mercy to really sincere devotees. So in general the principle is, if anyone has any material desires, that does not obstruct him from approaching Krishna and receiving his mercy, right? We already discussed that. Anyone has any material desires, that does not obstruct him from approaching Krishna and receiving his mercy, right? Provided he cultivates only devotional service strongly, tivrena bhakti yogena, right? And Krishna does fulfill those desires. So many times we said in the case of Gajendra also, in the case of the demigod, they go and pray, Krishna fulfills their desires, right? In the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, right? But Prabhupada says, if you see, if a devotee is very sincere, then Krishna may not fulfill material desire. In general, he will fulfill it. But if you see, the devotee is very sincere, Prabhupada says, so therefore, Deen Special Anukampana. That term is explained, Prabhupada, in the purport. Right? This is in the second paragraph only, in that continuation only, the seventh or eighth line. He is very merciful to everyone, therefore, if one wants to fulfill his material desire, Krishna helps him, in general. Of course, sometime if a devotee is very sincere, do you see that line? Right? This is second paragraph, probably seventh line or so, seventh or eighth line. Of course, sometime if a devotee is very sincere, the Lord, as a special favor to him, refuses to fulfill his material desires and directly blesses him with pure, unalloyed devotional service. And then Prabhupada quotes these two verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. This is Sanatana Shiksha. Krishna kaheya ma bhaje mage vishe sukh amri chhadi vishe mage ehi bada murkh ami vigyai murkhe vishe kene diva socho namarita diya vishe e bhulaiva. Right? So Lord says he is worshipping me but asking for poison. Right? He is a murkh, but I will not give him poison. I will give him amrit. Right? And therefore this person will forget the poison. Again, Prabhupada says in the purport, if you leave 5-6 lines, Prabhupada again says, if a devotee maintains some material desire and at the same time very sincerely desires to engage at the lotus feet of Lord, engage at the feet of Krishna, Krishna may directly give him unalloyed devotional service and take all away his material desires and possession. This is the Lord's special favor to the devotees. So the second paragraph, most of it is explaining Lord's special mercy to his sincere devotees. Right? In general, the Lord will give material fulfillment of material desires. But sometime he may not fulfill. For some, that's a special case of his mercy. Right? Like that. Okay, so you all can take a break here. So this is 18 to 21. His instructions, right? First two, he just takes a spiritual perspective, you see. Then he instructs Diti in verse 20, the very important devotional service. And then he glorifies that this bhakti is actually a mokh. It will fulfill all your desires. So it is a glorification of devotional service, text 21. Okay, so we'll continue. So there is some Kummela Prasad, right? For us, Prasadam is a nectar. This is what we go and distribute. And so all of you can have it. Where is the senior batch? Nearby? Goshala? Oh, here only. So you all share with them also. Oh, there is more Prasad. Ah, Vrindavan Viharis. Jai. Oh, I'll take this one. Yeah, more than sufficient. Unko aap logon mein divide kar lijiye. Hare Hare. Okay, so Aditi pleaded her husband to help them regain opulence and the kingdom, and his main instruction is Upatishtasva Purusham Bhagavantam Janardhanam Sarva Bhut Guhavasam Vasudevam Jagadgurum. And then he glorifies devotional service by saying, by rendering devotional service, all your desires will be fulfilled. Right? Sa Vidhasyati Te Kaman. Why? Because the Supreme Lord is Harir Dina Anukampana, specially merciful. Right? And Amog Bhagavad Bhaktir, this devotional service is a sure short process, infallible process. Amog Bhagavat Bhaktir Naitareti Matirma. Other processes do not have such power. Right? So the Prasad, the devotional soul is glorified. And then Aditi further asks this question, 22. Kenaham vidina brahman upasthase jagatpatim yathame satya sankalpo vidhyat sa manoratham.
Mati Aditi said, O Brahmana, tell me the regulative principle by which I may worship the Supreme Master of the world, so that the Lord will be pleased with me and fulfill all my desires.
Okay. So she asked, Kena Aham Vidina, please tell me how to worship the Supreme Lord. Upasthase Jagat Patim, he's the Lord of the universe. Right? How can I actually please him? Yatha me Satya Sankalpo, and Prabhupada mainly talks about the word Satya Sankalpo in the purport. So therefore, this word is very important. Right? Kena me Satya Sankalpo. So the sankalp means to desire something, right? Sankalp. Like people say, you know, I have thought I will do this, you know, sankalp. But many a time the person even may try hard, he may not be able to do it, right? But she's saying, so tell me that I have certain desires, how will they become fulfilled? Satya sankalp. My sankalp, how will it come to happen? Right? Sankalp. That is Satya Sankalp, right? The Lord, one of the name is Satya Sankalp, because whatever he desires surely come to happen, right? And similarly, the desire of his pure devotees are also Satya Sankalps, actually. You know, whenever the devotees desire anything, that also surely happens. Right? Satya Sankalp, by the mercy of the Lord, devotees are close to him. So, amog bhagavad bhaktir. So, actually, by rendering devotional service, one can achieve the position of satya sankalp. Right? The fact, because whatever the devotee desires, the Supreme Lord fulfills that. Right? So therefore, she is asking, please tell me how I should execute devotional service, so that my desires will be fulfilled. Right? Again, vidhyat se manoratham, my ambitions will be granted. Right? Like that. And Prabhupada says, a person may desire many things, but only if the Supreme Lord decides, then they are fulfilled. Right? And therefore, third line, fulfillment of desire is satya sankalp. Here the word satya sankalp is very important. And therefore, important point Prabhupada makes is, following in the footsteps of Aditi, if everyone approaches spiritual master, right, and inquires from him, how should I serve Krishna? If he serves, render devotional service under the instruction of spiritual master, then surely all his desires will be very soon fulfilled. Right? That will be satya sankalpa. And then Prabhupada says how chaturvidha vajante mam, right? Four kind of people come to me, Krishna says, and I fulfill their desires. Right? And Didi comes under the category of arth, distress. So Didi in distress is approaching the Supreme Lord. Text 23. Adishatum drishishta vidhim tat upadhavanam ashutushyati medeva sidantya sahaputrakai.
O best of the Brahmanas, kindly instruct me in the perfect method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, by which the Lord may very soon be pleased with me and save me along with my sons from this most dangerous condition.
Okay, so she's saying, please tell me what principle should I follow, what vidhi tad upadhavanam. Please tell me the vidhi which I should execute. Ashu tushyati me deva. By which the Supreme Lord should be pleased very quickly. Right? Because she is very distressed, you know. She cannot for years perform something and the demigods are already on the road, you know. As we discussed. So, Ashu Tushyati, there is urgency. So, please tell me the method by which the Supreme Lord will be pleased very soon and we will be relieved from this dangerous condition. So, Prabhupada again mainly talks about the importance of approaching a spiritual master in the purport. Right? In both the purports, Prabhupada, there's a central theme of the both the purports. Right? So Prabhupada says one should render devotional service under instruction. Only less intelligent people ask a question whether we should approach or why is required, why is like that. But actually, it's very essential to approach the spiritual master if one wants to very soon please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? That is important. Text 24. Shri Kashyap Uvacha Etanme Bhagavan Prishta Praja Kamasya Padmaja Yadahate Pravakshyami Pratam Keshavatoshanam.
Shri Kashyap Muni said, when I desired offspring, I placed inquiries before Lord Brahma, who is born from a lotus flower. Now I shall explain to you the same process Lord Brahma instructed me, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied.
Okay, so Prabhupada very much appreciates this reply. Yadaha te pravakshyami vratam Keshava toshanam. Yadaha, who Padmaja, when I was praja kamasya, when I wanted progeny, he's saying, I approached Lord Brahma, and what he told me, right? Yadaha te pravakshyami. What he spoke, I'll give the same method. And Prabhupada said, this is very valuable in the purport if you see. Prabhupada kind of very much appreciates or applauds this reply. In the third line of the purport, Prabhupada said, this is valuable. The guru does not manufacture a new process to instruct the disciple. Right? So guru or acharya, he doesn't manufacture a new process, but an acharya does invent new techniques, you know, to make the same process effective. Right? So newer and newer techniques are invented, but the process remains the same. Right? And then Prabhupada says, who is the bona fide spiritual master? Again, Prabhupada glorifies the parampara system because Kashyap Muni is saying, I'll speak what Brahma spoke to me. So Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, therefore, to approach a bona fide guru or spiritual master is essential. The bona fide spiritual master is he who has received the mercy of his guru, who in turn is a bona fide because he has received the mercy of his guru. So Prabhupada is saying, a bona fide person is not simply an initiated person. It's not simply a person who has simply heard from his guru. And that is there, but it's not fully sufficient. This person should have received the mercy of his guru. Right? So mercy is the main thing, actually. Right? So a person who has received the mercy, he alone can give the mercy. Right? So actually this Mercy is a very important factor in Krishna consciousness. Right? Mercy is the great strength. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Durgame pathi me andhasya skalat padgater mahu so kripa yashti danena santaha santavalambanam. He says, I don't have the verse number, but he says, my path is very difficult, durgame pathi, me andhasya, and I do not have clear vision. You know, it's not that we know exactly in every circumstance what to do. Right? Many times we are confused. Right? So he's saying, my path is very difficult and I do not have a clear direction. Durgame pathi me andhasya, and my feet are slipping again and again. Right? Therefore he says, I need the mercy of the devotees as my stick. Therefore he says, please, O devotees, give me your mercy, which will be my stick, so that I can walk on the path of devotional service. Please grant me the stick of your mercy as my support. Prabhupada translates like that. Stick of your mercy as my support. So the mercy is our main strength to traverse the path of devotional service. So Prabhupada says, bona fide guru is one who has received the mercy of, his guru. And in turn, whether it should be the mercy of his guru, that way. So the mercy is flowing. No? Like that. So the last line of the purport, Prabhupada says, mantras and the process of devotional service have special power, provided they are received from the authorized persons. Right? What is that special power? It's the power of mercy, actually. Right? It is the power of mercy. Because they have received the mercy, they are authorized to give that. So therefore, person who receives the mercy, for him, the process of devotional service becomes very joyful. Becomes very easy. Right. Text 25. Falgunasyamale pakshe dvadasha hampayo vratam arjaye darvindaksham bhaktyaparamayanvita.
In the bright fortnight of the month of Falguna, February and March, for 12 days ending with Dwadashi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion.
Okay, so he is saying that one should start, I am giving you this vrata, which is to be observed in the Falgun, in the bright fortnight of the Falgun, Shukla Paksh, right? When the just next day of Amavasya begins the first day, Shukla Paksh, when the moon begins to grow, right? And this vrat is to be observed for 12 days, from the day one when the moon just started rising up to the day of Dwadashi. And one should only drink milk during these 12 days. Right? Payo Vrat. Payo is milk. Right? So therefore the name is, one should take only milk during this Vrat. But there are, main thing is actually worship the Supreme Lord. Right? So the name doesn't indicate the main process. Right? Payo Vrat, because there is a story of milk drinking Brahmachari in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And the Lord says, no one can obtain me by drinking only milk. You know, by performing any kind of tapasya, but one can attain me by devotional service. And the Lord quotes Gajendra, said, what tapasya Gajendra performed? He's an animal, you know. He was roaming with sea elephants, right? We just studied about him. Lord quotes Gajendra also in that. Said, he obtained me, right, by devotional service, right? Just by drinking milk, no one can obtain me. So the Payavrat is just a name, right? But as we shall see, that the main substance is to worship the Supreme Lord, right? Which he indicates here also, that you have to perform this Payavrat, in which is Archayed Arvindaksham, the third line. Important thing is worship the Supreme Lord, Archayed Arvindaksham. And in this process of Archana, main thing is Bhaktiya. Right? So there are two margas as we know, right? Archana Marg and Bhagavat Marg. But even on the path of Archana Marg, Bhakti is to be there, has to be there. Right? So in the beginning only Prabhupada says, worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu with devotion means Archana Marg. And the shloka which Prabhupada quotes is actually Bhagavat Marg. Shranam Kirtanam Vishnu. So therefore to worship the Supreme Lord, right, in Archana Marg, this Shravanam Kirtanam is most essential or most important item of worship. Right? To hear and chant the glorify the Supreme Lord. Right? So they go in hand. Therefore, if you see this verse, it says, Archayed Arvindaksham Bhaktiya Paramayanvita. Worship the Supreme Lord with devotional service. That Bhaktiya represents Shravanam Kirtanam. Like that. And Prabhupada says, the last line, first of all says towards the end of the sixth last line, without bhakti one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this Archana process is actually very much dependent on the word bhakti, Bhaktiya Marg. Therefore the last line Prabhupada says, one should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. Right? Being surcharged with unalloyed devotional service, one should worship the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. Archayed Arvindaksham. Sorry? Yeah. So Prabhupada said, generally a person should not eat grains on Ekadashi. And it's generally recommended on Dwadashi one can only consume milk. No, there's a Vedic austerity prescribed. Basically one can break the fast with a little grain, but only Dwadashi as an additional tapasya, Dwadashi one should can just take milk on Dwadashi. That's recommended in the scriptures that we don't do it. Huh? Oh yeah, you never heard, that's okay. But Prabhupada says it's generally recommended. Right? There are many detailed guidelines of fasting on Ekadashi and Dwadashi. There are many strict guidelines, but we don't mainly go into the details of those because of practical difficulties to follow. Right? And then our main process is to actually hear and chant. If we can maximize that, that is good. And as far as austerity is concerned, it's not unimportant, but it's a secondary thing. Secondary doesn't mean unimportant. It's important, but so therefore it can be done up to the extent a person can do, according to his capability, right? But we don't discuss the details of that usually. Right? So therefore you never heard. Yes. That is followed in. Well, I'm not sure the history of the application, but Prabhupada is saying generally it is recommended. You know, at least those who are followers of the Vedic path, those who fast on Ekadashi, those who worship the Vishnu as per the scriptural guidelines, generally it is recommended that one can only take milk on Dwadashi. Right? So generally it is recommended. It's more tough. No, there is a brahmachari who only drank milk throughout his life. Milk drinking brahmachari. But he achieved Mahaprabhu's mercy, not by drinking milk, but by his bhakti. Right? Bhaktiya paramayan vita. Right? So therefore, that is the main, that is the more important point. One should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. Right? If drinking milk can help, that is good. Sini Valyam Mridalipya
snayat krido vidinnaya yadi labhet vaishuttasse etam mantram mudiret.
If dirt dug by a boar is available on the day of the dark moon, one should smear this dirt on his body and then bathe in a flowing river. While bathing, one should chant the following mantra.
Okay, so he's saying, actually a day before starting the vrata, which is the day of Amavasya, if one can get a mud, you know, taken out by a boar, one should smear that mud and take bath, right, in the river. And while bathing, the prior day, one should chant this mantra, which is prescribed in text 27. Tam deveya adi varahena rasaya sthanam icchata udhritasi namastubhyam papamanam me panashaya.
O Mother Earth, you were raised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a boar because of your desiring to have a place to stay. I pray that you kindly vanquish all the reactions of my sinful life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay, so basically one prays to Mother Earth, right? Smearing one body with earth. One prays to Mother Earth that remembering Lord Varaha's mercy on earth, right? Udhritasi namastubhyam. Udhar means to uplift a person. Usko upar uthana, udhar. He bolta hai, udhar kar do, matlab upar uthao, hum gire hue hain, udhar. So then, aapka udhar Bhagwan Varahadev ne kiya tha, aap abhi humara udhar kijiye. So one who has received the mercy, he can deliver the mercy. So Mother Earth is the recipient of Varahadev's mercy. Unka udhar Bhagwan ne swayam kiya. So the Lord has uplifted Mother Earth, therefore she can bless us and give that mercy to us also, and we also will be uplifted, right? Like that. That is, with this prayer one should take bath on the day of Amavasya prior to starting this vrata. Sorry? Which one? 27 is connected to 26, you are saying? Yes, it's connected. On Amavasya day, one goes to take a bath, put dirt dug by a boar on the body, take bath. While taking bath, one has to chant this mantra. Oh, boar is because the Lord Varahadev is Adi boar, you know, he's the original boar. There is a connection, because Lord, remembering Lord Varahadev, that's the connection. So looks like, you know, probably it could be that connection is there. Yeah, the boar connection is with this only, the Adi Varaha. That's the only connection that seems to be. Okay, we go to text 28. Nivartitatma niyama. Atmaniyamo devamarche samahita archayam sandile surye jale vahano guravapi.
Thereafter one should perform his daily spiritual duties and then with great attention offer worship to the deity of Supreme Personality of Godhead and also to the altar, the sun, water, fire and the spiritual master.
Okay, so Vishwanath Thakur says that one should worship the presence of the Lord within the deity, in the earth, in the fire, in the sun, in the water, in the fire, and in the Guru. Right? So with great attention, one should offer worship. One should offer worship to the presence of the Lord. Right?
within all these worshipable objects. Okay, so now 29 to 37, 9 mantras Kashyap Muni gives, which are to be chanted while performing this payovrat sacrifice. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Purushaya Mahiyase Sarvabhuta Nivasaya Vasudevaya Sakshine.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, greatest of all, who lives in everyone's heart and in whom everyone lives, O witness of everything, O Vasudev, Supreme and all-pervading person, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Text 30. Namo Vyaktaya Sukshmaya Pradhana Purushaya Cha Chaturvimshad Gunagyaya Gunasankhyana Hetave.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Person. Being very subtle, you are never visible to material eyes. You are the knower of the 24 elements, and you are the inaugurator of the Sankhya Yoga system.
Okay, so Namo Avyaktaya Sukshmaya. What is the difference between Avakta and Sukshma? Avyakta means Avyakta Avyaktaya. Namo Avyaktaya Sukshmaya. Avyakta and Sukshma. Sukshma is very subtle, right? Like the soul is subtle, he is even subtler than the soul. He is present, you know, he is the soul of all the souls. You know, soul is a subtler element, so like that. And Avyakta means it is not manifest to everyone. Avyaktaya. He doesn't manifest himself. Then Chaturvimshad Guna Gyaya. Here Prabhupada says, he is the knower of the 24 elements, and also it refers to 24 qualities which are propounded by the Vaisheshika philosophers. So Vaisheshika philosophers also have some 24 qualities, and Sankhya philosophers have 24 elements. So you are the knower of those 24, or you possess the 24 qualities, and you know are the 24 elements, or the Vaisheshika and the Sankhyas respectively, like that. Text 31. So there are not many purposes, just the offering of these mantras. Namo Dvishishne Tripade Chatu Shingaya Tantave Saptahastaya Yagyaya Trividyatmane Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have two heads, Prayaniya and Udayaniya, three legs, Shavanatraya, four horns, the four Vedas, the seven hands, the seven chandas, such as Gayatri. I offer my obeisances unto you, whose heart and soul are the three Vedic rituals, Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda, and who expand these rituals in the form of sacrifice.
Okay, so this verse is a respect offered to Vishnu as the Lord of the sacrifice, or as the form of the sacrifice. Lord's name is Yajna, right? So in this way, offering respect to Vishnu, who is himself is the form of sacrifice. And so therefore, Namo Dui Shirshane Tripade Chatu Shringaya Tantave Saptahastaya. So all this is a form of the Lord as a form of sacrifice. So it is explained that Dui Shirshane means two heads, which represents the beginning of sacrifice and the end of sacrifice. Dui Shirshane. Then Tripade, three legs of the sacrifice, right, which represents the three phases of the day. Beginning of the day, middle of the day, and the end of the day. Right? The night the sacrifice is not performed. You know, it begins during the day and towards the end. then the four horns, right? It's mentioned Chatushingaya. Four horns are the four Vedas. Four horns are the four Vedas. And Saptahastaya, seven hands are the seven mantras, right? The seven chandas, such as the Gayatri. The seven chandas mean the 7 meters. And so they're all related to the actually Lord form, as a form of yajna, sacrifice. So if you see, the first two verses offer respects to the Lord as a Paramatma. Third verse is offering respect to the Lord as a form of sacrifice, a form of yajna. And the next three verses offer 31 to 33. Next three verses offer respects to the Lord as Gunavataras. Namo Shivaya Rudraya, Namo Shakti Dharaya Cha, Sarva Vidya Dipataye, Bhuta Nam Pataye Namaha, Namo Hiranyagarbhaya, Nama Shakti Dharaya Cha. Sorry, wait a minute. Where did we? Oh, we already read, yeah. We are reciting 33, sorry. Namo Hiranya Garbhaya Pranaya Jagadatmane Yogeshwarya Shariraya Namaste Yoga Hetave.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, Lord Shiva or Rudra, who are the reservoir of all potencies, the reservoir of all knowledge, and the master of everyone. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are situated as Hiranyagarbha, the source of life, the supersoul of every living entity. Your body is the source of the opulence of all mystic power. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay, so so our respect is being offered to Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, right, in verse 32 and 33 respectively. Verse 34, Namaste Adi Devaya. Sakshi Bhutaya Te Namaha. Narayanaya Rishaye. Naraya Hariye Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the original personality of Godhead, the witness in everyone's heart, and the incarnation of Naranarayana Rishi in the form of a human being. O personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay, so after offering respect to Gunavataras, respect is being offered to Naranarayana Rishi. Namo Markada Shyama Vapushe Dhigata Shriye Keshavaya Namastubhyam Namaste Pita Vasase.
My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are dressed in yellow garments, whose bodily hue resembles the Markata gem, and who have full control over the goddess of fortune. O my Lord Keshava, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay, so to the form of the Lord, Keshava is one of the Narayan Murti of the Lord. Right? Actually, when we offer, put tilak on 12 parts of the body, all are named the name of Lord Narayan, actually. So, text 37. Tam sarva varada pumsam varanya varasharbaha ataste shreyase dhirat padarenam upasate.
O most exalted and worshipable Lord, best of those who bestow benediction, you can fulfill the desires of everyone, and therefore those who are sober for their own welfare worship the dust of your lotus feet.
Right. So you see, offering aspects to the various, in the Paramatma, to the Lord form of Yajna, to his Gunavataras, to his Narayan Rishi, the sage, to the Lord's personal, you know, Narayan Murti form. Now they express that you are actually fulfilled the desire of everyone, right? You give the var, right? Varanyam. What is yud? Vrasharabha. Right? So then it's like kind of the mantra one's desire for, you know, certain wish to be fulfilled is also expressed.
Anvartanta yam deva Shrisha tatpada padmayo Srihyanta iva modam Bhagavan me prasidatam.
All the demigods as well as the goddess of fortune engage in the service of his lotus feet. Indeed, they respect the fragrance of those lotus feet. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me.
Okay, so the last two mantras which he said is mantras for worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, which fulfill all desires. There is a beautiful verse in 10th canto glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? You can take that as a reference to verse 36 and 37. The both verses glorify worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Balram has recited this verse glorifying Krishna when the Kauravas denounced Krishna. Right? Said, who are Yadavas, you know? We have granted them this kingdom. Right? As if the shoe has sitting, wants to sit on the head. They are trying to command us. You know that episode? When there was Samba had kidnapped Lakshmana and Balramji went to, you know, the Yadavas were ready to attack, right? That episode. So Balramji, when they denounced the position of Yadavas, even Krishna, Balramji in great anger recited this beautiful verse, Yasangri Pankajarajo Akhila Lokopala. Right? This is 1068-37. Yasangri Pankajarajo Akhila Lokopala. Mali Uttumar Dhaptair Upasita Tirtha Tirtham Brahmo Bhavo Aham Api Yasya Kalakalaya Shri Shaudvema Chiram Masya Nipasanam Kwa. So he said the dust of his feet, yeah, Yasyangri Pankajarajo Akhil Lokapala, all the Lokapalas, the rulers of the planets, they take the dust of his lotus feet on their jewel stud crowned heads. So I carry that. Shri carries that, Shiva carries that, Brahma carries that dust on his head. And you know, what do you talk about this earthly kingdom? Right? What is the use of earthly kingdom for whom? For him, whom all the Lokpalas, including all the, you know, even the bestower of all the opulence, Mother Lakshmi, and all of us carry that on our head. So it's a beautiful verse glorifying lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, so now after giving these 9 mantras to be chanted, from 38 to 59, Kashyap Muni gives various details of rules and regulations to be followed. Right? So that all is given in the series of verses. So we can read the translations. This part. So one by one, or
Kashyap Muni continued. By chanting all these mantras, welcoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead with faith and devotion and offering him items of worship such as Padya and Argya, one should worship Keshava, Rishikesha Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, the devotee should chant the Dvadashakshara mantra and offer flower garlands, incense and so on. After worshipping the Lord in this way, one should bathe the Lord with milk and dress him with proper garments, a sacred thread and ornaments. After offering water to wash the Lord's feet, one should again worship the Lord with fragrant flowers, incense, and other paraphernalia.
Okay, so the deity worship in Archana Vidhi, details are being described. He recommended worship the Supreme Lord by Archana, but with surcharge with devotion, Bhaktiya Paramayanvita. Right? Remember that. Okay, so the details of that Archana is being described. Dwadash Akshar Mantra is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. By chanting this mantra, one should offer various items. Beginning with this mantra, then one should offer various items. Go ahead.
If one can afford to, one should offer the deity fine rice boiled in milk with clarified butter and molasses. While chanting the same original mantra, one should offer all this to the fire.
Okay, so for the deities, Shali Anna should be offered. Shali Anna means rice which is not boiled, uncooked, fresh, white rice. You see, when the rice, it's most of the Bengal, in Bengal, the rice is first boiled and then taken out. It becomes easy to take out the rice. And that rice is easy to digest also. So in Mayapur, in Calcutta, right, if you see, there are two rows of Brahmachari Ashram in the Prasadam Hall. One take boiled rice, one take the Shali Anna, the fresh rice. So the deities never offered the boiled rice. So it's cooked, before threshing it is cooked once, right? Only the fine rice should be offered. So it's mentioned in the Chidadahi festival. Now this poha, giving you some cooking details. because of my own interest, You may not be much interested, but I am speaking out of my interest. This poha, chipped rice. It is first rice is boiled, it becomes soft, then it's threshed. So most of the poha it made for the rice is boiled. It's easy way. But for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, it's mentioned that Raghunath Das Goswami also arranged some Shali Anna poha. From the fresh rice, some poha was made without boiling. Right? There is a difficult technique. But for the Lord, he arranged that poha. And that were offered to Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita, gives many details how the offering should be done. So this Shali Anna is many times used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Fresh rice, not boiled rice. Right? Okay. First, fresh means directly threshed. It's not boiled. See, rice before threshing, before removing the husk, many times the rice is boiled. And then it's easy to remove the husk. And it's easy to digest. But fresh rice is not difficult to digest in that sense, but for a patient and all that, with a very weak digestion, are prescribed to take a boiled rice. Before threshing the rice, it is boiled. So that is the boiled, that is the Shali Anna means the fresh, directly threshed. Most of the rice in Maharashtra or Kolam and all that is directly threshed. Okay.
One should offer all the prasada to a Vaishnava or offer him some of the prasada and then take some oneself. After this, one should offer the deity Achmana and then betel nut and then again worship the Lord.
Okay, so one is taking only milk, but the Lord is not just taking milk. Lord is offered many items. And Mahaprasad, you can just honor the remnants, Main diet should be milk in this vrata. You can honor the remnants, So otherwise, all other full prasadam should be given to other brahmanas and vaishnavas. Let them feast. You follow your milk drinking vow. That is recommended. Go ahead.
Thereafter, one should silently murmur the mantra 108 times and offer prayers to the Lord for his glorification. Then one should circumambulate the Lord and finally, with great delight and satisfaction, offer obeisances falling straight like a rod, dandavat.
Go ahead.
After touching to one's head, all the flowers and water offered to the deity, one should throw them into a sacred place. Then one should feed at least two brahmanas with sweet rice.
Okay, so it's mentioned at least two brahmanas. No, the more the better, but at least two brahmanas should be fed. Sweet rice is mentioned. Go ahead. Sorry. One at eight times, probably Dwadash Akshara Mantra. or 108 times the series of 9 mantras. I'm not sure which mantra he's saying, but just saying Japed Ashtotra Shatam. 108 times one should chant the mantra. Right? Side? Sorry? Oh, you're saying reference of 108. Yeah, there's a reference of 108. It's an auspicious number. Chanting a particular mantra 108 times. Right, go ahead.
One should perfectly honor the respectable brahmanas one has fed, and then after taking their permission, one should take prasad with his friends and relatives. For that night, one should observe strict celibacy, and the next morning, after bathing again, with purity and attention, one should bathe the deity of Vishnu with milk and worship him according to the methods formerly stated in detail.
Okay.
Worshipping Lord Vishnu with great faith and devotion and living only by drinking milk, one should follow this vow. One should also offer oblations to the fire and feed the brahmanas as mentioned before.
Yes, go ahead.
In this way, until 12 days have passed, one should observe this payavrata, worshipping the Lord every day, executing the routine duties, performing sacrifices and feeding the brahmanas.
Go ahead.
From Pratipat until the 13th day of the next bright moon, Shukla Trayodashi, one should observe complete celibacy, sleep on the floor, bathe 3 times a day and thus execute the vow. During this period, one should not unnecessarily talk of material subjects or topics of sense gratification. One should be completely free from envy of all living entities, and one should be a pure and simple devotee of Lord Vasudev.
Okay, so this is an important regulation, right? One, while one execute vrata, right? Varjayed asad alapam. Asad alap, if you remember verse, first canto, 16th chapter, 6th verse, Asavasya padam boja makarandali ham bhajet kim anya asad alap hai aisho yad asad vaya. Asad alap, this nonsense talk, only steals away one's life, one duration of one's life. Right? Therefore, one should not indulge in asad alap. Right? Asad alap. Yeah. So I was just coming, you know, train journey. You take a train journey. Everyone is talking continuously, you know, in the compartment, right? Continuously. So in 6 months, if you travel once, you know, then you come to know India today, world today, everything. You are updated about everything, you know. Just one journey, people all the topics, you know. Asad alap. This is all asad alap, you know. Just taking the duration of the life, right? So if someone wants to say, but I want to be informed, you know, then you can just have one train journey in 6 months. And you are updated what's going on, you know, like that. So I'm updated with many recent, just came from my train journey from Kumbh Mela. Okay. Go ahead.
Thereafter, following the directions of the Shastra with the help from Brahmanas who know the Shastra, on the 13th day of the moon, one should bathe Lord Vishnu with 5 substances, milk, yogurt, ghee, sugar and honey.
Okay.
The miserly habit of not spending money, one should arrange for the gorgeous worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the heart of every living entity. With great attention, one must prepare an oblation of grains boiled in ghee and milk and must chant the Purusha Sukta Mantra. The offerings of food should be of varieties of tastes. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Right, so this is also interesting detail. Right, he said, Pujam cha mahatim kuryat. The worship should be opulent. With shathya vivarjita. All the kanjusi should be given up. Vivarjita is mentioned, you know. One should use ghee, milk, you know. One should make dry food rich kheer, you know. And not just powder milk. Right? So, like that, you know. Said one should not be miserly. One should spend a lot of opulent worship and feed the brahmanas. And naivedyam cha ati gunavad. Right? So if you see the second last line of the verse 52nd, naivedyam cha ati gunavad. Even all the preparation should be very gorgeous. The taste, varieties of flavors. Right? chaturvidham bahu gunam annam bhajanam. It is mentioned when the wives of the brahmanas brought foodstuffs, they were four kind of foodstuffs and all were enriched with the qualities of, there are three primary qualities of food not mentioned here. It's my interest subject matter, so I give some additional purpose. So what are the three important qualities of food quickly? First is the nice fragrance. You know, when a person takes a fragrance in the temple hall, sometime you get the fragrance from the kitchen. It increases the appetite of a person. And then when one sees, you know, there should be nice toppings, you know, the toppings, upar thoda kothmir, nariyal, you know, there you see the nice colorful toppings. So the toppings are given. So by seeing the food, one's appetite should further increase. And then third is the taste. You know, the most important, the food should be nicely fragrant, a nice presentation, nicely visible with all toppings and all that. By seeing, one should, and it should be very tasty also, you know. So like that. So bahu gunam should have all the qualities the food should have. Right? Once Gaurgadhar Prabhu made a cake, and on Maharaj, we were observing, Brahmacharya was observing Vyas Puja, and his only Radhana Swami Maharaj, he looked at the cake. He said, how can I cut this cake? It's looking so beautiful. He said, I cannot cut this cake. You know, this beauty should be preserved. You know, he was just joking in that way. So look aspect. You know. Anyway, that's all little digression I take when the food discussion comes. Okay, go ahead.
One should satisfy the spiritual master, Acharya, who is very learned in Vedic literature, and should satisfy his assistant priest, known as Hota, Udgata, Adhuvaryu and Brahma. One should please them by offering them clothing, ornaments and cows. This is the ceremony called Vishnu Aradhana, or okay, worship of Lord Vishnu.
Yeah, so if you see, the pure vrat has mainly three components. There is the chanting of the mantras, there is the performance of the sacrifice, there is the refer priests are to be satisfied and various food items, everything. And there is the worship of the deities. Right? So the gorgeous elaborate worship of the deities, then the chanting of performance of the sacrifice and satisfaction of the priest distributing gifts, and chanting of the various mantras. So this is the three main components of Pavavrat sacrifice. Then all the other details are mentioned in this series of verses. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, most auspicious lady, one should perform all the ceremonies under the direction of learned acharyas and should satisfy them and their priests. By distributing prasad, one should also satisfy the brahmanas and others who have assembled.
See, actually, again prasadam distribution, again gunvata, bhoje tan gunvata, sad annen suchi smite. The prasadam should be really good and should be distributed to one and all. Right? In Prabhupada glorifies in the purport about prasadam distribution. Right? In the Vedic system, prasad is distributed as recommended here, without discrimination as to who may take the prasad. Right? Without discrimination. Anyone, right? Other places there can be discrimination. Who can participate in the sacrifice? Who can assist in the deity worship? No. That is all, there is some qualification required. Who can take prasad? Anyone can take prasad. The dog eaters can take prasad. The dogs themselves can take prasad. Right? Anyone means anyone, you know. Let the prasadam be fed to one and all without any discrimination. Right? So, that's what it is. Right? And that's one of the main, if you see Lilamrit, Prabhupada very, very strongly, emphatically said there should be profuse prasadam distribution during Kumbh Mela. You can see that section. Very, very, again and again Prabhupada is hammering to all the devotees involved. Where is the stock of rice? Where is the stock of ghee? Where is the stock of sugar? The stock of grains, asking again and again, you know, the godown should be full, ample prasadam distribution. Don't think, you know, Radharani will supply, she the kitchen in charge, you are not the kitchen in charge. Like that, you know. Very heavy instruction, Prabhupada said. Right? Radharani is managing the kitchen, you are only doing mismanagement. You know, you have not filled up the godown like that. So Prabhupada, very heavily. So in any, even when Dasharatha Maharaj performed the sacrifice, when Rishi Sringi came, what is the name of Rishi Sringi only? Right? Who came to the kingdom? He said, Maharishi Sringa, right? Rishi Sringa. Right? So he performed the sacrifice and mentioned all the people who came to participate in the sacrifice, they glorified the prasadam quality. Everyone glorified Drishyadatta Maharaj for arranging a nice feast mentioned in Ramayana. Right? So the prasadam distribution has its own great significant place. Right? And I am also over highlighting. Okay, go ahead.
One should satisfy the spiritual master and assistant priests by giving them cloth, ornaments, cows and also some monetary contribution. And by distributing prasad, one should satisfy everyone assembled, including even the lowest of men, the chandalas, eaters of dog flesh.
Right, so we see 3-4 verses are describing about distribution of prasadam in this sequence also. Go ahead.
One should distribute Vishnu prasad to everyone, including the poor man, the blind man, the non-devotee and the non-brahmana. Knowing that Lord Vishnu is very pleased when everyone is sumptuously fed with Vishnu prasad, the performer of yajna should then take prasad with his friends and relatives.
So during the vow, he is only distributing, he's only taking milk and ordering little remnant, but at the end, Tyodashi day, he can take, right, this prasadam. Go ahead.
Every day from Pratipat to Trayodashi, one should continue the ceremony to the accompaniment of dancing, singing, the beating of a drum, the chanting of prayers and all auspicious mantras and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so again, the Bhagavad Vidhi is mentioned over here. Every day, right, the 12th day and the last fast breaking day, 13th day, the hearing and chanting of Krishna's name should continue. Like that.
This is the religious ritualistic ceremony known as Payavrata, by which one may worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I received this information from Brahma, my grandfather, and now I have described it to you in all details.
Okay. Let's recite text 59. Last 3 verses. Tum chane namaha bhage samyak chirne na keshavam Atmana Shuddha Bhavena Nityatma Pajavayam.
O most fortunate lady, establishing your mind in a good spirit, execute this process of Payavrata and thus worship the Supreme Personality of God at Keshava, who is inexhaustible.
So, this verse highlights some of the qualities which are important, some qualitative aspect of any vrata, right? Of any vrata. Atmana Shuddha Bhavena. The important aspect one while observing any vrata is to have pure consciousness, right? I was hearing His Great Bhurijan Prabhu once, and he was saying, so many people take Kartik Vrata, right? Kartik Vrata. He said, once I thought that I will take the Kartik Vrata of not criticizing a devotee, Shuddha Bhav. You know? And he said, it was so difficult, you know, I realized, you know, because unconsciously we may just utter something, you know, we just like that, you know. Something, you know, unconsciously is a fact, you know, when you become observant of yourself, you realize that unconsciously I just minimize, or within the mind, by my words, by my actions, I offend or criticize devotees or minimize them. So he said it was the most difficult Kartik Vrata, he was saying, that not to criticize the devotees, right? So Shuddha Bhav actually. Therefore, in this verse also, he, if you see, one of the things in this vrata is don't talk nonsense, right? So maintain the purity of consciousness. During any vrata, the purity of consciousness, Shuddha Bhav is very important, right? So purity during the vrata is important. Then continuity. You have to do Samyak Chirnen Keshavam, right? Chirnen, continuity. You should not miss on any particular day, right? So the continuity has to be maintained. Then it has to be done with proper regulation. One is continuity, another is regulation. What time one should get up, how should one do it, what mantras to be chanted, right? All the various regulations which have been described. So purity, continuity, the regularity, and the humility. Actually, that comes in another verse. Because when Advaita Acharya, he also had a desire. But that was not a material desire, that was a transcendental desire. He wanted Lord to descend. So he, within his mind, he thought, Shuddha bhave kariba krishnera aradhan. I will worship Krishna with purity. Shuddha bhave kariba krishnera aradhan. Nirantar sadhane kariba nivedan. Nirantar, with continuity. I will pray continuously till my desire is fulfilled. So if a person is actually with purity, with continuity, with regularity, actually one more thing, with intensity. If you see Advaita Acharya's worship, it was intense worship. He said, Hunkar, he was very intensely calling to the Lord. And with humility. If you see these five things of any vrata, that surely makes any vrata successful. Right? And that comes in the some of the qualities come here, some in the Advaita Acharya's worship of the Lord. He worships. So, again to repeat, purity, continuity, regularity, intensity and humility. Nirantar sadhane karibani vadan. Sadhane, with great humility I'll worship. Continuity, with great intensity, with great purity. Right? And with all proper regulation, with the regularity. So, then surely one's vrata will actually succeed. Okay, go ahead. Oh, we'll read the last two verses also. Ayam vai sarva yagyakhya sarva vratam iti smritam tapasaram idam bhadre danam cheshvara tarpanam.
This payavrata is also known as sarva yajna. In other words, by performing this sacrifice, one can perform all other sacrifices automatically. This is also acknowledged to be the best of all ritualistic ceremonies. O gentle lady, it is the essence of all austerities and it is the process of giving charity and pleasing the Supreme Controller.
Okay, so this is also very important verse. Saying this payavrata which I have described, right, which involve these three main elements which we discuss. I am vai sarva yagyakhya. Performing this vrata implies performing all yagyas. Performing sarva vratam. Performing this vrata means performing all other austerities. Or performing all other vratas, vows. Sarva vratam tapaha saram. Performing this vrata includes performing all kind of tapas also. Idam bhadre, right? So in this way, he glorifies. And danam cha ishvara tarpanam. Performing this vrata implies performing all kind of charity. So all the yajna, all the vows, all the tapa, austerity and all the charity is executed just by performing this particular payavrata. Right? And then Prabhupada compares Krishna consciousness movement to the performance of payavrata. So, Prabhupada says, second line of the purport, Lord, worshipping Lord Vishnu is the supreme process of worship. And how Lord Vishnu is worshipped in this payavrata ceremony has been fully described. Okay, so the main thing is Vishnu Aradhana, because that Aradhana is the supreme. And Prabhupada says, our Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu Aradhana. See the seventh line of the purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu Aradhanam. Right? So this payavrata is mainly Vishnu Aradhanam and the details are given. Our Krishna consciousness movement is also Vishnu Aradhanam. Many details are similar, but some details may differ also. Right? But it is the same thing. Prabhupada says, this payavrata method of Vishnu Aradhanam was enunciated long, long ago by Kashyap Muni. But now, especially for this age of Kali, the process accepted by the Krishna consciousness movement is to open hundreds and thousands of Vishnu temples, right? Perform the worship of the Lord in this temple, mainly by hearing and chanting, and by offering various kind of foodstuffs to the Lord and distribution of prasadam. Right? So basically, Prabhupada is comparing that for us to make a yajna kund, we make a temple. This is the place where we will form yajna. Right? Didi was supposed to offer yajna to the Lord Vishnu. Right? So our place of our altar is the temple itself. Right? And our main worship of the Lord is performing sankirtan. Right? Performing sankirtan. And of course we offer various kind of foodstuffs to the deity and distribution of prasadam. So opening the temples, performing the sankirtan and distribution of prasadam, Prabhupada say these three important activities of Krishna consciousness movement are the same as recommended in Pavavrat, so therefore they both are similar. Right? And Prabhupada says that actually Krishna consciousness movement is even superior in the sense because that Pavavrat was recommended only for 12 days, but our activities are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And throughout the month, 12 months a year, so like that, you know, it goes on non-stop. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada compares. This is a beautiful purport. Just reading last few lines, the seventh last line. Thus the essence of all auspicious activities such as performing yajna, giving in charity, observing vratas and undergoing austerities is included in the Krishna consciousness movement. Just as these activities, essence of all that is included in the Payovrat, so it is all included in Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada says. The member of this movement should immediately and sincerely, very important, Prabhupada says. Therefore, in conclusion, immediately and sincerely one should follow the process already recommended. It is Krishna consciousness process. Right? One should have the temple of the Lord, worship the deity by chanting the holy name of the Lord, offer him various kinds of foodstuffs and distribute prasadam. That is the process. In second, like that. Right? So, regarding performance of all vratas, all austerities, all yajnas, all charity, there is another beautiful reference verse from Madhya Lila 11.190, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Haridas Thakur that you simply by chanting the holy names, you are performing all holy baths, all yajnas, all dan, all tapa. And 11.90 is Shane Shane kar tumi sarva tirthe snan, Shane Shane kar tumi yajna tapo dan, Nirantar kar chari ved adayan, Dvija naisi haite tumi param pavan. Right? So Lord saying, simply by chanting holy names, right, you in pure consciousness, continue, if you see in Haridas Thakur's vow of chanting the holy names, all those five qualities are there, right? With purity, continuously, daily he chants 3 lakh names, with great regulation, right? He doesn't eat before completing prescribed number of rounds, right? He refused Govinda. And with the great intensity and humility. Right? All five qualities are there in this execution of Namo Vrata, which Haridas Thakur took. Right? And Mahaprabhu glorifies him that your Vrata is equivalent to performance of all Dan, Tapa, Yajna, right? Snan, Holy Bath, so study of all scriptures, etc. Right? Like that. The last verse. Taeva niyama sakshat. Taeva chayathottama. Tapodanam vritam yagyo. Yena tushyate dhokshaja.
This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, known as adhokshaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity and the best process of sacrifice.
Okay, again, it's a kind of mahatme of the Payavrata, as we discussed after giving all the details, that this certainly is a performance, this equivalent to, or this is the best, this Vrata is the best austerity, best charity, best sacrifice. Why? Because it pleases the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, everything is meant to, the goal is to please the Supreme Lord, but by this process, the Supreme Lord is pleased very soon. Therefore, this is the best process. Right? That is so. Prabhupada quotes this verse. dharma sunishthita pumsam vishvaksen kathasuya not puddet yadi tatim shram evi kevalam. The goal is to please. If the Lord is not pleased, then everything is a shram. Right? Like that. Okay, so the last. Tasmade dad vratam bhadre prayata shaddhyachara bhagavan parituṣṭaste varanāshu vidhasyati.
Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires.
Jai Grantra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Nitai Gaur Premande. Hare Krishna.